Last month, we reported that the federal government is cracking down on smugglers who sell immigrants into slavery in the United States. The Justice Department is spending more on investigations, and the State Department is pressuring other governments to stop the trade. But the effort has resulted in few prosecutions. And as Nancy Solomon reports, human rights advocates worry that the government is focusing too much on forced prostitution, while most victims are working in farms, factories, or homes.
Ashiq Hamed is a small, quiet 27-year-old Bangladeshi who smiles politely and says little upon meeting a stranger. But ask him how he came to be enslaved in a Manhattan townhouse, and the floodgates open. Upon arriving in 1998 with a visa for what was supposed to be a good job, Hamed found himself working in the home of a UN diplomat, where he had to sleep in the boiler room and work 18 hours a day. He was paid $20 a month, could not have contact with the outside world, and was told that without his passport and visa, taken by his employer, he would be arrested. Hamed couldn't speak English and had no idea how to use the phone. After 3 years, he ran out of the house screaming for help, so distraught that he passed out on the street and was taken to a hospital. Someone there called Nahar Alam, an organizer from Andalan, a New York group working with South Asian domestic workers.
Ashiq is, of course, one little tiny example of what's going on in the world with this kind of worker, but it's thousands of people are suffering like that. Filipinos, Mexican, Bangladeshi, Indian, or South Asian, whoever.
The Trafficking Victims Protection Act, passed in 2000, was supposed to help people like Hamed. It provides funding for services and allows victims to obtain a special visa so they can remain in this country. But there's a hitch. Victims must agree to testify against the people who enslaved them. Susan Tomator, an attorney with the New York Bar Association, represents about 25 victims of trafficking a year.
It's such a huge burden for someone to cooperate with law enforcement.
Tomator says her clients often fear they will be deported or are just too traumatized to be interviewed by a group of federal agents, since most meetings include the FBI, immigration, and the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Most immigrants fear going to any sort of U.S. government agency in the first place, and law enforcement isn't always interested in the case, and that's frustrating for people who really want to see the people that abuse them prosecuted.
Tomator says federal prosecutors are much more likely to be interested if the case involves forced prostitution. So many of her clients face a catch-22. They can't cooperate and be eligible for a work visa if law enforcement doesn't take the case. But the Bush administration's point man for human trafficking, Alex Acosta, says the Department of Justice treats all trafficking cases equally.
Whether a girl or an individual is trafficked to the United States and forced to engage in sex, or whether they are trafficked to the United States and put into modern-day labor slavery, both are morally despicable. And we prosecute both vigorously. Where we find these cases, we pursue them irrespective of whether they are sex or labor.
The numbers tell a different story. Out of 110 trafficking prosecutions since 2001, 78 have been sex cases. The U.S. Attorney for New Jersey recently gained convictions against a brothel that forced 4 teenage Mexican girls into prostitution. In another case, Russian women lured here with the promise of jobs dancing on Broadway were forced to strip and lap dance in go-go bars in Jersey. Prosecutor Christopher Christie says he's not ignoring other types of trafficking, but forced prostitution does grab more of his attention.
If you find that young children, like these Mexican girls, 14, 15 years old, are being sexually exploited, this scars them for life in ways that I think are very different than if you were in slave labor. And in addition to, I think all of us sit there and look at, my gosh, that could be my daughter. It does motivate you a little bit differently.
But so far, that motivation has yielded very few results. The U.S. Department of Justice estimates that tens of thousands of women are forced into sex slavery in this country every year, but most never come forward to police.
Unfortunately, when a woman is rescued here, INS generally keeps her detained and basically jail cells until deportation hearings can be commenced.
Jersey City Police Detective Walt Zalisco has been investigating the traffic in Slavic women for several years. He speaks Ukrainian and Russian, and since the late 1990s, he says he's posed as a customer and interviewed some 800 women in strip clubs and massage parlors. Zalisco says most victims do not speak English, fear the police, and are usually assumed to be doing sex work by choice.
You know, although you did pick them up on a sex charge, I mean, it just isn't right to charge them for that.
Zalisco suggests a response more like the way battered women are handled, shelters instead of jails, and training for the cops on the street. Columbia University anthropologist Carol Vance is studying the U.S. response to trafficking. She says trying to stop it by prosecuting the smugglers does little to address what causes it in the first place.
Trafficking and all of this coerced or abusive labor has a very close relationship to world poverty, to inequality, globalization, and also immigration restrictions. The notion that trafficking will be, quote, eliminated as long as there's massive world poverty and massive desire to move illegally to work in wealthier countries, that's a fantasy.
The Bangladeshi, Ashiq Ahmed, recently received political asylum because the diplomat who enslaved him might persecute him if he returned home. Other domestic workers who have fled exploitive work situations have fewer options. A lot of cases involve diplomats who are immune from prosecution. One young Indonesian woman, who prefers to remain anonymous, is trying to stay here after escaping from the home of a UN diplomat from Qatar. The Trafficking Victims Protection Act doesn't help her because there is no prosecution to cooperate with.
I can go home, but I cannot come back here. I love America. I have been working hard to get what I want. It's like, but I have to think about my parents too. I have two younger brothers and one sister. So I don't want them to have a life the same me. I want them to have a better future. That's why I'm staying here.
This young woman has escaped domestic servitude, but now she has joined the underground economy of the undocumented, earning very little and sending any extra home. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Solomon.